Good evening, everyone. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters is all about people probably like you who are making a difference into the collective of our species at this time. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm an intuitive, and most of you hear me fairly regularly. But I have a very interesting paradigm shifter with me this week, Wayne Hoff. And Wayne is what is known as a maybe in your own world, Wayne, because I don't think this is an actual category, but he's known as a transformational healer. He works in California and did a session for me in the distance yesterday, and it's really wonderful energy, healing work, and we're going to talk all about what that means. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Thank you, Veronica. Great to be here.
It's really good to have you here, and we're going to have some fun because the work you do, and the work a lot of us do as healers, is really outrageously different, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is transformational healing to you?
Transformational healing, I started out as a normal healer. I would work on problems that people came in with and try to find some quick solution if somebody was in pain, trying to get them out of pain. And what I found over a course of time that the what was needed was to actually make the shift in the person to what was being called for by actually the illness in the person was to for the person to make a deeper shift in the root of their being. And so I started working with the core of the person, and then what I mean by core is their spirit, their soul, their heart, this core part of them. And from there, we're then working on the issue that may be up, whether a person has sciatica or stomach problems, taking that core part of themselves, this spiritual part of themselves, and finding out why the illness or whatever is going on with them it has appeared in their lives.
Well, hang on a sec now. Would you say the core part is kind of like the soul direction or the drive that they're trying to accomplish in this life? Would you say that, or how would you explain it?
It's that and more. What I would say is that the soul part of themselves, if you can get it, is just the eternal part of themselves. It's the part that appears lifetime after lifetime, and it's just appearing in this particular body right now. And the spirit part of it is the connection to source, the connection to the earth, it's the connection to this body. And I look at the heart as the seat of the soul. And the soul part is actually how they are in the world, how they operate in the world. The heart is the navigator of their lives if they choose to go there. what's happened in society is that we've gone into the head and we're far more mental than, you know, than this connection. What I do is when I work with somebody, I get them out of the mind and into this core navigating connection that they have in there. And that part also is the part that has your purpose, has your desires, what you're here for. So it includes all of that.
And your love?
And your love, your natural kindness. I would say that it has the authentic part of you. And it's when you are operating from this authentic part, that's when you have like an authentic kindness, authentic truth, or courage. It's also the place where will comes out of. It's the not thinking to do something, but it's actually knowing how to do something, knowing that this needs to be done, and operating from that place, a knowing place.
So do you think that people's illnesses, you mentioned somebody with, say, sciatica, or, you know, I'm often fascinated by, for example, that grief sits in the lungs of people that are besieged with pneumonia or whatever, that you go into the core issue behind it, or you find out what their authentic nature wants from them that's being blocked by, for example, grief. Or, I mean, is that right? Is that how you would perceive it?
That's what in a sense, that's what it is. When I get in touch with this core part, I also work with the body itself, the physical body, and I get the physical body to actually connect into the core. And what that does is that creates a safe place for the physical body. Most people that come in to see me do not feel safe. Mm-hmm. They may not even know this. They may think that they feel safe, that they're comfortable, but actually their bodies don't. Their bodies are, you know, have developed strategies to operate in the world. And what I do is I go below those strategies and get the body to get into this core part of the person and then work from there. And that's actually a more basic place that the body's operating out of,
How do you do that? Does the body tell you? Do you see it? I know you're very intuitive. Do you see where the body's comfortable, is safe? You see what I mean?
I guess my gift is that I can read bodies very well. Even as a child, I could do that. I could sense what was going on in people. I could sense their emotions, sense all of that. And I could, it was like almost like I could touch into the interior of a person. And so when I'm working with a body, I communicate directly with the body. I'm actually talking out loud, and I'll say, body, is it okay to do this? Body, are you feeling this? And that's so that the body knows that I'm communicating, and I'm communicating to the client also, but it's to get this rapport going with the body. And once the body feels safe and feels like it's being listened to, it'll actually show me what's going on. It'll actually reveal what's happening in the body.
So there's a lot of healing that goes on when you actually have a real honest rapport with the person's body. Is that right?
Yeah. Most people think that, they treat bodies almost like... almost like being treating their pet or something. They may think they have a good rapport with their pet, but what they really want is the pet to sit over there and behave himself and do all this other stuff. And that pet may not want to do that. And bodies are treated the same way. We go about, we say, we want the body to be like this. We want you to get up in the morning. We want you to be wide awake. We want you to, you know, whatever we need. We're going to feed you junk food, and you're going to be able to handle it. That kind of thing. We may think that we have a communication with the body, but actually we're sort of telling the body what to do. And the body, you know, what it does, it creates its own strategies to protect itself. It creates its own strategies to survive in that kind of environment.
And those can be illnesses?
Yep. That's one of the strategies. A person may end up with sciatica because the body does not want to do what this person wants to do.
Oh,
I had somebody a couple of days ago that, you know, she came in with sciatica and she had it for 5 weeks. Nobody had been able to work with it. When I was asking the body, it was particularly on the right side. And what the body, what she wanted to do was actually do some more physical stuff that the body didn't want to do. There was actually some emotional things that were attached to that. And what happened was, is once I worked with that sciatica, once we worked with those emotions, she could feel the sciatica just clicking down in pain. You know, as we hit each emotion, as we cleared things, then then the sciatica pain dropped, you know, 10%, and then 10%. And it was at that point she told me, yes, now I get what's going on. Because my body doesn't.
So do you think that you actually made the body safe and the body knew it was being listened to? Do you think that was the big shift?
Yeah, the body has never been listened to, is what I found with most people. I mean, almost everybody that comes in, the body has been, like I was saying, with a pet. You know, it's like you think you're doing all this stuff for the pet, but, you know, you're forcing it to do certain things also. You're saying, we're going to take a, if you have a dog, we're going to take a walk at this time, not when you want to take a walk, but take a walk with I, when it's convenient for me. And that's how we treat our bodies. And what I do on the table is I work at getting the body to let go of its strategies, its resistance to what's going on. And I get the communication going. And when I do that, the body feels safe. And when we can stay in that safe level, then we can work at what's going on, why the body is making these decisions to create a sciatica.
Hmm. So you're working with a number of bodies, like you're working with the energy bodies as well, and all of that, aren't you?
Right. The etheric and the physical body is just one of the bodies that I'm working with, but that's where the pain is showing up, and then that's where the energy that I'm moving is happening in the etheric body. But what we're also, you know, what I'm also doing is getting the person to recognize that the emotional body, the mental body, the spiritual body, the belief systems, all of that play a part in what's going on. This also means that we're looking at other people's energies that are coming in.
Now, that's an interesting subject to me. That is an amazingly empowering subject, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, a person may have an abusive person in their life. You know, if you have this kind of abusive person, and they just may be verbally abusive to you, the body reacts to that, you know, because it wants to protect the person. That's its job. And yet this person is bringing this abusive person closer and into the life. And that gets confusing for the body. It's going, why is this abusive person getting closer when the body's sending out all these signals, get this person away from me? And that's what you overcome. And what a lot of times that is maybe karmic issues that a person has. They may be replaying patterns that come from past lives. They may also have energies in them that are making this kind of pattern happen. So it can be a variety of things.
So would you say that the patterns that are in the body, the energy patterns that are in the body, I often think that they attract or magnetize similar patterns in and around other people, so that you end up being, would you say that, where you end up really bringing toward you some of the more denser frequencies?
Right, right. That, you know, when something clears, I mean, somebody comes in and says, you know, my partner is abusive to me, you know, our relationship is deteriorated, this person is very abusive to me. What I tell them is, we can't change your partner right now, but what we can do is we can work with you. And when we clear the energies that are in the person, these patterns, maybe victim patterns, these upsets, maybe they've taken on some of the energy of that abusive partner. When we get all of that cleared out of the body, and the person's back to themselves, just back to this authentic part of themselves. What they find is when they go home, in a lot of cases, the person is just totally has changed. There's no more arguments. The person is actually very supportive.
And so would you say that's because they've cleared out that kind of density that they had, like I'm going back to the thing about magnetizing the problem?
Right, right. And so what's happening, we are creating by the energies that we're carrying around with us and our responses, and a lot of times the responses we have to situations is because of the energies we're carrying. Mm-hmm. Because of that, we magnetize, you know, abusive stuff to us, or we magnetize luck, or we magnetize different things, people that are very negative for us.
Or the outpicturing of old patterns. We just didn't have to live, right? So tell me about the collective versus, you talked about bringing people into their authenticity, and I want to get farther into that. But how do we cope in the collective if we're bringing energies into our body because of having old ones that are in there? How would you teach us to cope, you know what I mean, like to be able to authenticate?
Right. What I found when I was working with people, you know, I could get people clear, and then I'd see them a week later, and they'd have everything back. And it was pretty frustrating. And so what I found is I first started working through the heart and getting the heart cleared, and that seemed to help a bit. But it was when I finally got into the core part of the person, the spirit, the heart, the soul, this part that is very connected to the source, and getting that part active, that when they went out, after we did the clearing, when they went out, they had a strong enough field and a strong enough sense of themselves that they didn't pick up. You know, they didn't go back to the way they were before. What I found is that people are able to hold it a lot better. And so when I see them a week later, we can actually work on the next level. They're actually very ready for it because they could feel the shift. They could feel that they're holding their own. They had this very strong sense of who they are, authentically who they are.
Hmm. Very magical work. So who are you then, Wayne? Did you come from a family of healers? Were you trained to do this all your life?
I came from a family of doctors, my brothers and their wives. My father's a doctor. I came from a very medical, scientific family that was also very fundamentalist, you know, in religion. And I didn't really buy the religious part. I really was a very spiritual person growing up, and I was pretty rebellious. And I became very scientifically oriented. I really believed in the physical and the material, and I didn't have a sense of the spiritual. It was sort of contradictory because I had intuitive sense, and I knew things and this kind of stuff in it. But I sort of, I didn't emphasize it. I just sort of thought, well, it was just sort of an odd kind of thing that I knew how this person was feeling or I could sense this. But what happened was I actually ended up with an illness. And then when I got through that, then I ended up in a car accident.
What kind of an illness? Was it like a really long-term one?
Yes, it took about a year. It was, I had hepatitis, and so I was very sick. I was just ended up hepatitis D, and I was really sick. But I went through the medical system and healed. And it was interesting when I thought I was healed. That's when I ended up in this car accident, and I ended up with migraines from that. And at that point, the medical system said, well, there's nothing we can do. And this was back in the 80s, and they just didn't have anything for migraines. Well, somebody, I don't even know who it was, I don't remember who it was, told me to go see somebody in Berkeley, a man named Michael Salison, who was one of Ida Rolf's original people that she trained.
That's of the Rolfers, right?
Yep, the Rolfers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he trained in a new modality that worked with the cranium, which, you know, now we know is cranial sacral work. And so I went to him, and in three sessions, he got rid of my migraines. Mm-hmm. And I was actually heading on to disability at that time. They said this was going to be a lifetime disability. Mm-hmm. This guy in three sessions just using his hands healed me. It blew my paradigm because it shouldn't have, how could that be? It didn't make any sense. I mean, he didn't move anything. He just put his hands on me. And I remember the first time he put his hands on me, that feeling of healing touch, I'd never experienced that in my life. And I knew there was something there. It was really, it was just remarkable. And after that, I had scoliosis. He straightened my spine. He did all kinds of things for me that medicine couldn't do.
Using cranial sacral, he straightened your scoliosis?
Well, he used Rolfing.
Oh, okay.
All the techniques he had. He actually had multiple techniques that he did. Hmm. And that just blew the whole paradigm for me because I thought medicine was the only thing that could heal it. And I thought, you know, I was told that the only thing that would cure the scoliosis was an operation. And this guy did it with his hands.
Hmm.
It was remarkable. I actually have never been to a doctor since. So.
Wow. Hey,
changed my life.
Years ago. Yeah. So what did you do then? I mean, obviously you were a man. You weren't a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you start going to classes or were you excited?
It was one of those paradigm shifts. And so for me, I was very excited. I wanted to find out what this guy was doing. So I started going into classes. And in San Francisco at that time, the New Age movement was really starting to blossom. And there was free classes. There was all kinds of things. And I became a workshop junkie and would go off to places and studied all kinds of modalities. There was a shift also. What happened was I found that there was a Philippine psychic surgeon that was three blocks from where I lived.
Passed
a dozen times. I didn't know what he was. And I started going there, and I became an apprentice there. And he worked totally with just these energies, with guides, with beings. And it opened up a whole world for me that I just didn't know.
And did you resist it at all, or were you just really, like, eager?
Oh, I loved it. It was like coming home. It was every night blew my mind. Every time I went to a talk, it just opened up something for me. It was like, you know, the ahas, and the shifts in me. I really look at that point in my life as a second life. You know, I lived a certain way up to there, and then after that, I totally changed.
New incarnation.
Whole perception of, that's right, I got two lives.
Well, tell me, when you were working, was it the kind of healer where you put your hand right in the body as if you're doing surgery?
He could do that, but he couldn't do that in the United States. He would be, at that time, they were arresting any psychic surgeon that did that. So he began using just energy. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd keep the hands outside, and he'd work with angels. He'd work with different healers. And a lot of times he wouldn't even get near the person. He could actually get the distance. And that even blew my paradigm more. I couldn't believe it. You know, but he could, you know, handle those energies. And it, it was remarkable to see what he could do. He was quite a remarkable healer.
Well, it's interesting because yesterday you did some work on me, and I'm a long way away from you, more than 1,000 miles, and you just talked to my, my energy body. So this must be what you started to learn there, or you learned there. And you worked with my energy body, and the impact was tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference if the person's here or it's remote.
But I want people to know that you said you had my energy body on your table there.
Yeah.
I loved that. Yeah. That was so cheeky, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's like having you right here, and it responds just like if there was a body here.
Wow. There's no time and space, is there, when you get to the...
No.
Well, would you say our core is in the energy body?
I would put the core, the spiritual core and all that, as in all of the energy bodies.
Okay.
I think it's a part of all of it. It's spiritual core and in your emotional body you have heart and spirit. In your mental body you've got heart and spirit. And I think it actually impacts all of the bodies, and that's the reason, you know, when I get in touch with it, I can access all of these bodies so clearly, because that's also part of that sort of awakening in the bodies of this connection.
Hmm. Well, so back to our the psychic healer, did you then, when did you start working with people? Did you launch very shortly thereafter, or did you continue taking different modalities?
I just continued. I'm still taking classes and learning new things. But at that point, Joseph, my teacher there, he started having me work on clients, that were coming to see him. And he even had me work at an expo one time because he couldn't be there. So I was there, and, he just kept pushing me to work on people to do that. And what I found was that I could do things, and there was other things that I ran into my own resistance. I was running into my own problems, my own issues that were in me. And so I would generally work a little bit, and then I would work on myself a lot. And so I really didn't get a practice going until, the late 90s. A steady practice. I worked on people, but I always did it sort of part-time or on the side or whatever.
Hmm. So tell me, like, who comes to you? Is it they come
for
physical?
Yeah, when I first started, I had a lot of people with the physical things, and that's not happening so much anymore. I still get people with physical issues. You might get cancer patients. I get lupus or people with sciatica. All of them have some sort of an issue. But the type of people that I'm finding now that are showing up are people that recognize that, number one, it's just not a physical issue. There's something else going on. And
that's always, isn't it? It's always true, isn't it?
It's always true.
Yeah.
And so they want to do something different, and they're recognizing many of them have tried the medical system, but they're just not getting anywhere with it. And so now they're trying something alternative. And, so I'm getting a lot of those people. And I'm finding, everybody, I was a little worried about working with people's spirits and core and all that, because I thought, well, people are going to think it's religious, or they're going to think, if a person is not spiritual, they're going to think I'm pushing some woo-woo thing on them. But what I found is, whether even like an atheist, what I use is I just say, you have a core part of yourself that knows.
Mm.
And you've felt that before, where you really know something and know it right in the center of your being. And they go, oh, yeah, I understand that. And I work from that, so I don't even need to use those terms. But people have a sense of that core.
Hmm.
And for people that are different religions, we just, work it in with their terminology. And
so people come to you that are up for and seeking transformation, then, don't they?
Yeah. They're recognizing there's something else that's happening here. And many times they'll come in and they'll just say, I got this cancer and they'll even tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, I tell this to the doctor and they just tell me I'm crazy. So they're not using that. They want to have somebody hear it and work with them on that. And it's amazing what ends up happening there. It, may not cure the entire illness, but it will make a huge shift. It may make them just open enough to do a healing with maybe some other modality.
Okay, so there's something I want to ask you about cancer before we move on. I have a friend in your environment, actually, who's probably listening, and she emailed me today and asked me about cancer treatments because she's on very much on the path, and she suddenly has it. And I thought, I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have sort of a general kind of advice or like herbs or homeopathics or emotional doodah, like the cancer profile or that sort of thing that you can advise people about?
What I generally do, I trained in Canada a few years ago in German New Medicine.
Oh, what's that?
Dr. Hammer back in was about 1979, 1980. He was a German oncologist. He's in charge of the oncology clinic at the University of Heidelberg. And what happened was he got a call in the middle of the night, and his son had been shot.
Oh, my.
His son had been totally healthy. Now he'd been shot, so he received this shock, and then his son died a few days later. And 6 months later, he ended up with testicular cancer, and his wife ended up with an illness also. But with the, with being a good German doctor there, he knew his past. He knew, he'd been profiled. He had all of this work done on him, so he knew he should never have gotten testicular cancer.
Hmm.
So what he came up with is that it must have been that phone call. And he thought that it was odd that his son dies and he ends up with a cancer in, his regenerative organs down there, this genital.
Right.
And so what he did, he said, this is something he said I'd never done before. He said, I started to talk to my my patients. And what he did is every patient that came in, he said, was there, when we found the cancer, was there an event or anything that changed in your life, some shocking event that happened prior to that? And what he found is like almost everybody did. And he started tracking it. He did, some 40,000 patients, through these clinics in Germany. And he tracked this. And what he found is that there were particular traumas that would happen that created particular cancers. And he got so good at it that he could tell a person, if there was a particular trauma, that where the cancer would show up. He could tell where, he was remarkably predictive. And he became very famous in Europe, and he ended up writing this up and presenting it to the German universities, and he had a 92% cure rate. And
so the cure came with the discovery of where it was, or that alignment with the person's core understanding of what the doctor had said?
Right. What it is he would get them to find it. He'd work with them on finding this core issue, and they would get an understanding of it, and then he would make them do something physical in response to it, do something to handle whatever the issue was.
You mean like bring out a rage or take a medicine, or what do you mean by do something?
Or maybe, if there was some problem with somebody, maybe do something about it. Talk to the person and tell them, stay away from me or do something. Like what he was saying was like the body was requiring him to do something, and so what his body was requiring him to do was to make another child.
Wow.
He ended up with the testicular cancer because those cancer cells in the testicles produce a very highly fertile semen.
Hmm.
And he said that was his body's response to it. But if he would have dealt with it in another way, his body would have been fine with that too. He had be with his other children, that kind of a thing.
Hmm.
And so what he did was he had people, have a response to whatever the issue was that came up, do a physical response. And just by doing that, chemotherapy, no radiation, no anything, he had a 92% cure rate.
Woohoo. So I hope my friend is listening tonight for her, the shock behind hers,
Right.
And the other thing, I just want to throw this in before I forget, is that we have a massive spread of prostate cancer right now. amongst men all over. I think it's in the States and Canada. I think it's in the Western world. I'm not sure where. But what would that represent? Would it be the loss of power of men in this particular culture or what?
Yeah, that could be a lot of it. You know, it's with the prostate, you could, you know, one of the things is, you know, somebody could feel very emasculated for some reason. You know, it could feel put down. And so that would create that.
But isn't it interesting that there's so much of it?
Yeah, there's, you know, what happens is many times a person will feel the shock and they'll forget about it.
Right.
I've had people come in that have cancer and I'll be questioning them. They'll say, well, nothing like that happened. Nothing like that happened. And I'll say, well, let's just get on the table and we're going to just start working. And once they start working, they'll just all of a sudden sit up and they'll go, oh, I know what it is. It was this. And they'll tell me a completely horrendous incident that happened in their life. And they go, I completely forgot about that.
Mm.
He said, that incident changed my entire life. I completely forgot about it.
And the body doesn't forget, right?
That's right. The body doesn't forget, but the mind has different mechanisms to block it, you know, resistance. And, you know, Homer has been training people it's been decades now, and there's a lot of people using he has a whole system out there. And you can go up to the German New Medicine website, which is just germannewmedicine.ca, and they have an enormous amount of information about, you know, what a particular cancer, what's the trauma, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, thank you for that. Now I want to jump into a whole bunch of questions I have for you.
Okay.
Because you work with energy a lot, so that's a little different than the physical, although I think the shock and the cancer is the energy that creates disruption, but that's what I think. But let's go into energy and how you work with that. Is that a simple enough question? Is that too simple a question?
Well, it's like what I said. The way I work with it now is I go into this core part. I begin to speak to the body. And what I'm doing with the body is I'm asking questions and I'm allowing the body to reveal whatever's up.
Okay.
And a lot of the things that are very hidden, or the body is compartmentalized, or the body is actually put outside of itself. I mean, it could be completely outside of the physical body and just be, you know, 10 feet away from the body, and it's holding an energy out there because it doesn't want to bring it into the body. Or a piece of, you know, when they do soul retrievals, a piece of, you know, themselves may be actually outside of the body. What I do is I allow the body to reveal what it wants to do. So the body will say, you know, say, let's work over here, let's do this. And the body knows there's something wrong. And when I'm talking about the body, I'm talking about all of the bodies, actually. It's not just the physical body, but the energetic bodies also. And I'm having them all work together through this core part of themselves. And, you know, the emotional body will reveal stuff. It may be revealed that there's some holes in the aura and we need to, you know, patch those up. Or a lot of times there'll be an entity in the person. And the body will reveal that, and then remove the entity. And all the time I'm working with the safety of the body. I'm making sure that we don't do anything that the body doesn't want to do, that this part of themselves really is directing it. And when it wants to stop, I stop. I stop immediately.
Well, I think the idea of getting into being, helping people get healed by going through all of that and getting to the authentic nature, that is really fascinating when you consider that everybody else is, I mean, you're working on my energy body, which is essentially distance from my physical body by 1,000 miles. But if we can do that, our bodies and our energies can be all over the place and interacting with all kinds of other peoples, can't they, all the time?
Sure. Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, people say, well, I want to get this person's energy out of my body. And they come in, and what I'm finding is actually they're out in this other person's body. You know? We think it's this other person. It's actually them. And it's like, it's a very common strategy. You you're feeling like somebody's a little bit abusive out there, you want to control somebody, your energy body actually heads out there, or a part of you heads out there. And so I've got to get them back, and I have to get them to feel okay about that, you know, that you need to actually just stay in your body, and you need to feel safe in your body. Some people, I'll spend the whole session just getting them to stay in their body. Every time we work, they jump out of their body, and I've got to bring them back and get them to feel safe, that, no, we can work, and you can just stay right here.
So when you get people feeling safe, and well, actually, the way I understand it is you're getting their bodies to be safe, that the person is going to be in accord with or harmony with their body, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? So what was I going to say? Okay, so can you, when that happens and people become more authentic, there's usually quite a bit of change in the person then, isn't there? How they present in the world.
Yes.
Doesn't that affect all their relationships? What does that do to their home and family and relationships?
Yeah. One of the things when we're working and then they get up, a lot of times the issues they have are, you know, at least on the way to healing, if not completely healed. But I have them look in the mirror in my office in Monterey. They have a mirror there. I just have them look at themselves, and they can actually see the physical difference in them. They can actually look at themselves and really feel, this is myself. This is really authentically who I am. And by that nature, and just knowing that, when they go out and they, you know, deal with the world, deal with their friends, it's an entirely different situation, because they're not going into a strategy of trying to please their friends, or you know, feeling uncomfortable doing this or that or whatever that really has no basis in fact. Mm-hmm. They find themselves very comfortable, and they find themselves, when they're talking with somebody, they're not taking on that person's energy. They're finding themselves that they don't have to take care of that person. Or they don't have to be afraid of that person. I work with a lot of people that, you know, are in sort of abusive relationships or whatever, and it's getting them to recognize that they're safe, you know, and that they can respond to whatever's going on and keep themselves safe, and that they're in charge of their safety and they can do something. And
so would you say that their core energy then becomes lighter and brighter and kind of becomes a field around them, or?
Right. It becomes what happens is their energy body expands out around them, so that it's much stronger and much bigger. And when they have that, some people come to me and they have actually no aura at all. It's like just a, you know, quarter of an inch off of their body, and they don't really have an aura. Mm-hmm. Because when they're around people, they just contract. Mm-hmm. And getting everybody to expand their aura and be strong in their aura creates that safety. What it is I call it, it creates a home. You've got your own space. You've got your own home. And when I'm working with people, a lot of times, you know, I'll end up going over to their house, and we'll clear their house and get their house to also be a place. Mm-hmm. And so that they not only have this home that they're carrying around with them in their body, but they can go to a place that's actually safe. And that, when you have that, people have a sense that they can stand up to whatever issues are out there, because they have this safe place.
So it's an empowerment thing. Hmm?
It's totally empowering.
So what about children? Do you work with children?
Sure. Most of the kids that I work with are very young, maybe 3 to about 10 years old. I work with some high school kids, but not a whole lot. Parents bring in these kids that are about 3 to 10 because of various things. I mean, sometimes the kid's seeing things, or the child is not able to sleep at night because they feel there's somebody in their room, or those kinds of issues. And I work with the child, and most of the children they're seeing that are experiencing things, that it's actually totally valid. They're seeing correctly. There is some energy in their room, all of that. And I work with validating the child, and then I show them how to clear. And then I generally will clear the energy out, but they get to be participating in that. So they recognize that it's something to be afraid of.
Yeah, because I often worry about children who are extremely empathic, and they lose themselves really easily when they're young. Is this a good way for them to learn to empower themselves and not suffer from that?
Right. A lot of the kids I get, the parents will say, you know, my child is, you know, really special. And, you know, they'll tell me different incidents. You know, if a child knows who's calling before anybody answers the phone. They know this about certain people, or they could tell you, you know, grandma's really sick, and then 2 hours later they get a phone call, grandma's really sick. And so they know something's going on with this child, or the child is seeing things. And when they bring them to me, what I do is I work with the child to validate what the child's seeing and what they're experiencing and how to handle that. And I also work with the child. I'm not talking about it too much. You know, they can talk about it maybe with their parents, but you don't talk about it at school. You know, you don't, those kinds of things, so that they can stay protected, so that they don't get, you know, what happens a lot of times, everybody thinks they're very weird or something like that. And so I get them to honor their gifts, you know, whether they're communicating with their animals or whatever, to honor it and keep that gift, but actually just keep it quiet for right now. Mm-hmm. And just talk to people that are very receptive to that. Mm-hmm. And
does that help children who are hyperactive or, you know, a little off?
A lot of times the hyperactivity is emotional stuff, but it could also be physical stuff. It can be vaccination toxins, or it can be the food the child is eating. It can be a lot of things. But, you know, working with the emotional issues about that and then validating what their experiences are helps to calm the kids down, because a lot of times they're having experiences, they're sensing things, they're feeling things, and it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, when you validate and say, yes, you are feeling that, and it actually isn't you. You're feeling somebody else's anger, or you're feeling somebody else's fear out there, and getting them to recognize that, a lot of times then they can keep that energy from coming into them. You know, they just work with building up their energy field so that they don't take the stuff on.
They can maintain that. So tell me, I wanted to talk to you about 10 more things, but we're going to run out of time. So can you tell us a little bit about your trip to Africa, what you were doing over there last year?
Yeah. There was a person in Santa Cruz who made what he calls an orphanage. It's really not. We got over there, it was just a couple of buildings, and there really wasn't much there. There's 1,500 children, and they just sleep out in the dirt, out in the rocks. They pretty much have to take care of themselves, but they can come into this place, and sometimes they get food, they can get some clothes, and what this. It was an African man who started a school, and he wanted to teach these kids. He wanted to get them so that they could read, so they're not going to end up just having to stay out there, that they can actually get ahead in life. And he set up a school, and the school was just in the rocks. The blackboard was just rocks. You know, it was a huge rock, and they just write on the rocks. And so he didn't really have much there, and there was a man in Santa Cruz who started a group called Sawera, which means friends, and he started inviting people over there to help, you know, these people, you know, train them. He had nurses going over, had different people going over, and I went over with a woman, Susan Grant, who's a teacher in acupressure, and we went over to teach the people that are actually the teachers and, you know, the support staff at this little place, how to do acupressure on the kids. Because there really isn't any medical supplies, there's nothing there. They're growing herbs, but there were things that they just couldn't, you know, work with. And so we went over there to train them in ended up happening, it was in Zimbabwe, and it was right at the time that Mugabe canceled the election and sent his goon squads out. So there was a lot of violence, a lot of things going on when we got there. And but we were able to sort of weave our way through it and still work with these people. And
well,
they were fantastic.
What was their reception like? Were they, are they in an awakening or transformative space as well?
That was what was so amazing about these people, was that there was all this violence. There was this provocation to violence. You know, these goon squads were beating people up, stealing, doing all kinds of things. And there was a, everybody that I met, that I talked to, in the circle I was around, all of them said that they were not going to go to violence. They said, you know, if we go and we fight Mugabe and we pick up the guns and we fight, it's going to only get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they had had a war of independence, you know, some 25 years before, and they said they did not want to go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. Even the young people, everybody said, we just don't want to fight. We, you know, we know what's going to happen if that happens. It's just going to get worse. And I just couldn't believe how enlightened those people were, you know, how they, how wise they were, how they recognized violence just wasn't going to work.
Right.
And how they, even though food was very hard to get, Mugabe shut down the water, he did all kinds of things, and the people just continued just to work together.
Wow.
They continued to pull each other, and they just, they had that total commitment that they're not going to go, they're not going to go into the violence.
So maybe
so,
that shift is happening all over the world. We're going to have to say goodbye, unfortunately, Wayne, because you're very rich, and I want to keep asking your questions, but they'll hook us off stage in a minute. So,
okay.
If you could give your website, and do you have anything about your African trip or even just the link to that program or anything on your website as well?
You know, I'll put it up on there. That's a good point. I will put it up there. It's called Sawira, S-A-H-W-I-R-A, and if you just type that in, the guy Braden, who runs the organization, he has a website, and I just don't remember what it is. I'm not at Sawira.org. I can't remember right now.
Well, people are going to go into your website.
Yep, and so I'll put the link on there. And my website is www.waynehoff.com. And my phone number is 831, area code 831-818-6980.
Well, you know, you're talking to you is very, very inspiring. I just know that subtle energies are energies. All of us are energy beings, and this shift that's supposed to be going on right now and the speed up of the frequencies, I mean, your work is really right in the middle of all that. It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, you know, people that are making the decisions for change, making the decisions that they're going to do things differently, they're fully aware of all the energies that are around us, and it is, it's like a wave. It's taking us. And if people make that decision and jump on the wave, there's so much support, so much energy out there that's moving things so much more quickly.
Well, let's be a part of it, you know. Thank you so much, Wayne. Many blessings, and thank you for all your work in the world. And I hope we'll talk to you again.
Great. I hope so, too.
All right.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
This is Veronica Entwistle saying, I hope you could hear his phone was rough, but his story was really profound, and he has a lot more. So we're going to get him back one day, and maybe you'll pop over there and experience his either phone sessions or his personal sessions, because we're all learning about energy and the wave and the shift. So again, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. If you'd like to feed me back on this show, suggest other paradigm shifters, or have a session with me, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. See you on Jackie's show on Thursday night in my call-in show, 7 o'clock at BBS Radio, Radiance by Design, and meet me with Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in consciousness at 8 o'clock. Breathe some blessings in from the universe and breathe it all out to our wonderful paradigm shifting community. Good night.